Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We are tackling Chapter 73 of Dungeons & Drams, titled Wrecking Ball. And honestly, this title was entirely too literal.
I know, right? You usually expect Wrecking Ball to be a metaphor for a relationship falling apart or a battle going wrong. No, Tuki Saltpetar literally turned a planetarium into a siege weapon.
We have to start there. The party breaches the Tower of Divination, Ethryn is chaos outside, and they walk into this stunning planetarium. Valine and Avaris are having a wizard duel upstairs, but down on the ground floor, the party is tripping balls on galaxy magic.
It's that distinct Ethryn environmental storytelling. The room distracts you with potential futures, and this is where the writing shines for Tuki. He gets a vision of the future, a Final Destination-style premonition.
He sees himself failing to cut the wire on the Sun Sphere, getting hooked and exploding. Total party wipe via Nothic Horde.
So, what does he do? He uses that information. He corrects the mistake before he makes it. It's the perfect use of a divination theme in a combat encounter.
And then, and I love this detail, he sings a rhythmic rendition of Wrecking Ball as he sends a giant flaming model sun out the front door to incinerate the enemies.
Tuki Saltpetar, the Miley Cyrus of the Forgotten Realms.
Absolutely incredible. But while Tuki's handling crowd control, we have to talk about Hirax, because this paladin was operating on a different level this chapter.
He was tactical. He didn't just charge in. He stopped, listened to the floorboards, sensed the fiendish blood, and deduced exactly where Avaris was hovering upstairs.
The pick of pass wall maneuver, carving a hole in the ceiling directly under the villain so she loses cover? That is using your environment to perfection.
It led to Avaris's downfall immediately. She's floating there, arrogant, thinking she's untouchable, and suddenly, she's being swarmed by bugs from Doug's infestation and dropping like a stone.
Her death scene was haunting, though. She hits the ground, gets shredded by spirit guardians, tries to cast one last take you with me fireball, and nothing.
It creates nothing. That line gave me chills. It felt symbolic of her entire character arc, which we learn about in the journal entries later. Avaris was all about ambition and appearance.
Yeah, let's unpack that. They loot her body. Tuki taking her winter dress and putting it on is hilarious, by the way. But they find that chain contingency scroll.
Exactly. They realize Avaris, for all her bluster, was punching way above her weight class. She didn't cast those high-level spells herself. She was using borrowed power. She was a scroll user pretending to be an Archmage.
The journal confirms it. She was working for Manshun, playing the double agent against the Arcane Brotherhood, thinking she was going to eclipse her masters. But in the end, she died because she ran out of other people's magic.
It contrasts so sharply with Velenine Harpel. We finally get the truth from her in this chapter, and it is heartbreaking.
The rot, Avaris kept taunting her about. We all thought Velenine was turning into a lich or corrupt, but no, it's just a neurological disease. She's old. She's dying.
It completely recontextualizes her lies. She told them the Mythalar was going to explode to create urgency, not to manipulate them for evil, but because she literally doesn't have time to waste. She's terrified of dying before she makes her mark.
It's a very human moment in a campaign full of monsters and magic. She just wants to matter. But just when we think we're settling into an emotional denouement, the notification comes in.
Oh God, the rug pull. The emotional roller coaster of this chapter is insane.
Doug gets the message from Gnarl. Check your belongings. While they were busy fighting Avaris, the traitor, allegedly Xerophano or Yaman Nartok, cleaned them out.
The losses are catastrophic. The Platinum Dragon Egg, the Remor Haz Egg, 2,000 gold, and the Dragon Staff of Aggaron.
That staff allows you to bypass the Dragon Ward of Waterdeep. That is a nuclear football-level item to lose. They won the battle for the tower, but they might have just lost the war for their inventory.
It's a brilliant twist. It shows that while the party is focused on the big bad in front of them, the political machinations of the Netherese survivors and the shifting alliances are the real danger.
So we end on a high note of combat victory and a desperate low note of realizing they've been robbed blind by the people they left behind. Typical Dungeons and Drams.
Themes for this chapter, I'd say borrowed time and borrowed power. Avaris used borrowed power and lost. Valen is on borrowed time and is desperate to use it. And the party, well, they just lost their retirement fund.
Can't wait to see who they strangle first in the next chapter. Thanks for listening, everyone.